welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for the week of April 7th, 2008. I was thinking April, and I went with April. I wish it was May,
because we'd be like leaving for Florida in a week.
Funny, since you brought that up, I was just talking to a friend earlier today, and we were talking about Metal Gear Solid 4, and I was like, yeah, June 12th, I can't wait. Oh, wait, I think I go to Florida on June 12th. And I thought that the whole day, and I was like, oh, man. Oh, well, I guess I'll be in Disney, but ah, man. But then I got home and like
realized you're going.
Yeah,
May?
And then I'm like, wait. Well, I mean, I just thought beginning of summer vacation, and even though this is my third year of college, I still think of that as June.
Yeah,
you know?
I know what you mean.
Instead of early May, but I'll go to Disney World and play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Woo!
So it'll be good. But anyways, welcome to the show. We're gonna do the usual rundown here. We're gonna start off with news. We got good news?
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
You spent a lot of time compiling news while I anxiously walked around the room singing the Metal Gear Solid 3 theme to myself.
Yep.
Then we're going to go on to the best ever. I have a topic.
All right.
Yes, I have one prepared in advance. Just so you start thinking a little bit, I was thinking on best Disney-based game ever.
All right.
Hey,
look, the internet's back.
Oh, good. Well, why don't we exclude Kingdom Hearts for me, though, right away for that list.
Okay, I wasn't listening. What did you say it was?
Disney game.
Oh, okay.
I'm wearing a Donald Duck shirt today, so
that
I was inspired.
That is true. I was wearing a Mickey one the other day.
Right, right. So, yeah, we've had horrible internet problems.
Yeah.
We've had people, but I won't bore you with them. You have to stop putting that in our previews that we have, like, internet problems and things.
Meh.
All right. Where was I? Best ever. Then we're going to talk about our week in gaming. Been a big Metal Gear week for me. I don't know what you've been playing at all. You'll tell us, I guess.
Yep.
Don't say anything. Don't give it away.
Ooh, ooh.
And then we're going to go on to downloadable game releases, the weekly game releases, the 411 on 411, talk about what's on that site. Then the mail barrel. I didn't forget about the mail barrel.
Just
I
checking.
Saw you motioning. and that'll be the whole show. So why don't you go ahead and get us started with that news?
Okay, so the big news this week is the PlayStation Store.
The PlayStation 4?
Yes, the PlayStation 4 is announced.
Wow.
It will have called Purple Ray Discs.
Will have Home?
Yes. Home will launch with the PlayStation 4 in open beta form.
It'll have Home, and then a month later they'll announce Apartment, and then Condo. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on to the next story. PlayStation Store revamp is finally coming.
Yay.
The store closed this past April 3rd. It will be down for approximately 2 weeks. The update is coming in like way of firmware.
Whoa.
So it's not like they're just changing the website. It's not going to be like a website anymore. It's actually part of the PlayStation interface.
Wait. Why do they need to take the store down for 2 weeks?
There will be no new content updates in that time.
Well, why can't it just be a sudden switch?
I do not know. So that means, like, the Rock Band songs
right.
will, like,
what
all just come out later.
Things?
The Call of Duty 4 maps are coming later. It still works. Just not new stuff isn't going on.
Oh, so the store is still there. Okay.
Yeah, it's still there
it's
right now.
It's not as bad
but,
as I thought, but yeah, that still kind of sucks.
Yeah, so, like Still Alive came out in Rock Band last week, and yeah. They have to wait. Which really sucks.
Yeah, it does.
By the way, that's like that was the best thing about April Fools. The rest of April Fools, which I compiled a short list here. By the way, I guess PlayStation 4, I'll call that my April Fools joke.
Yeah, accidental. Okay.
But there was the usual pile of bullshit to sort through this year, no different than any other day.
If you fell for any of it, you're a retard.
Yeah, I just hate it. It's so frustrating. It's like, okay, haha, you're all so funny. I don't know. I call it Liar's Day.
Some of it's funny, clever.
Yeah.
Like the Assassin's Creed
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, this is an example of the funny, clever stuff. Like the Assassin's Creed MGS4 trailer mashup.
I kind of like my April Fool's jokes nowadays. Like, I know you're going to try to fool me. I just like to see be kind of neat.
Yeah, try.
I don't mind to see you try
like,
to
this
deceive
was cool.
me.
It was basically, it looked like the first like 10 minutes of gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 4, but like Snake was wearing Altair's robes. And like Jade Raymond and Hideo Kojima were like both in on it, so
right.
that was cool.
But... Okay, let's just look at that as Metal Gear Solid 4 gameplay trailer, though. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
awesome.
Oh my god. It is going in and out of cutscenes, and it just looks beautiful. And, like,
mm-hmm.
within, like, the first 10 minutes, you're fighting one of those geckos.
Yeah.
And they're, like, rampaging
the
everywhere.
Big cow things.
Oh my
I
god.
It's gonna be sweet.
Oh god, Metal Gear Solid 4. All right, let's go on.
So Blizzard had their usual cavalcade of jokes. They announced the Torin Space Marines.
Yeah.
Torin of the Terrans. I mean, they actually modeled them and had screenshots and everything.
I like the Bard or whatever it was called. Was that the Bard or the Muse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Bard was going to be the new hero class in World of Warcraft, the Wrath of the Lich King, in which a Guitar Hero-esque interface came up while you played guitars to damage your foes, which would just be awesome.
The obvious lag issues aside, that would be sweet.
I think it was because they are now merged with Activision, so they can do that.
Right.
They announced WoW coming to consoles.
That was my favorite.
WoW, World of Warcraft, Molten Core for the Atari 2600.
That was great.
Anyway, was there another one?
Maybe. I don't. Those are the ones I remember.
You know what they did last year, and I missed it? They announced, Warcraft, Heroes of Azeroth. And it was this exciting new game that would take your World of Warcraft experience and pull it into a new perspective where you commanded the armies of Azeroth. Visit, famous Azeroth locations like Molten Core and Dustwallow Marsh. From a whole new perspective and see exciting prequel storylines that set up the World of Warcraft. And it was just Warcraft 3. But they figured because, they have 10 million people playing World of Warcraft and, a fraction of that even knows who Warcraft 3 is.
That's pretty good.
That was awesome.
But I like the Molten Core one because it had that video.
It showed, the boxes, and it was, four unique boxes and everything.
Move around in 8 different directions.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. And I they had all the things that had all the features. And it was the text with that it's sort of that Blizzard trademark glow mm-hmm. passing through it, and the one was just sound.
I didn't actually see the trailer for it. Saw the screenshots and stuff. I gotta see that.
Sound. And it you heard a
We gotta watch that when we're done.
Oh god, that was good.
Then there was the Zelda movie trailer that IGN and which a production company called Rainfall Films made.
Everyone was some people were oh my god, I wish that was real. You liked it a lot.
I wish it was real. I just really liked it. I think that if someone was going to do a Zelda movie, that's not a bad jumping off point.
I'll tell you what, the parts were the part where he was hiding from the Zelda, the eye spider creature, mm-hmm. That boss Margaret Tam, that looked awesome. But I still think the actors obviously didn't look like they were going to be in a movie like that. I thought Ganon looked stupid. You thought he looked cool.
I thought he looked fine.
I heard other people say he looks cool. I think it was too literal.
The music was sweet.
Yeah, there was a lot.
And the guy who played Talon was awesome.
I don't even remember, but yeah.
The Scottish guy.
In the beginning, yeah, that was cool. Well, Scottish people, they're always likeable.
They're sweet.
But it was definitely it was one that seemed to fool the most people. Yeah, I had a friend come up to me we're talking about all the April Fool's jokes. Oh my god, you know what I saw in this isn't an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
There's a Zelda movie.
Did you see the part where it said April 1st, 2009 at the end?
I'm sorry, but if you watch that whole thing, I guess it was PJ, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you watch that whole thing, I'm like, God. All right.
Yeah. But then I went to Rainfall Productions website and they have a montage of other stuff they worked on. They have special effects of that caliber and all their stuff. It's pretty neat. So then you get into the less clever and more just frustrating things. One website tried to portray that they had a press release that Nintendo had sent out about the We Want More channel that was going to add DLC to.
Was it you who told me that you thought this was Nintendo's April Fool's joke?
It's just the way that this is lying, because somebody else made a press release that said it was from Nintendo that was also dated March 27th. So it almost made you think. So it's not funny. It's just now tricking you to be an asshole. But they were saying that Wii games were even old ones are going to get DLC, Zelda and Mario Galaxy and Smash Brothers. And the first was going to be 4 new characters and 4 new levels for Smash Brothers, $10, but for the first month it'd be free.
Keep dreaming.
But the thing is, we really shouldn't oh, it's just a joke. We should be expecting that.
Especially since with Smash Brothers, there isn't going to be another one for at least 5 years.
So I know, did you see any other interesting ones? I saw people on message boards. One guy tried to put a story as Shigeru Miyamoto dead at 55 and car wreck and stupid stuff geez. Like that.
No, I didn't see anything else notable.
Yeah, those were the good ones.
I can't
think
of any good ones I saw outside of the gaming world even.
Nah.
But that's what that was.
Yep.
All right, moving along.
All right, so Mario Kart Wii, which is coming this month, should be fun. Nintendo sent out a press release about all the control schemes, and This comes from their press release. It says, Classic Controller. Mario Kart veterans can let their thumbs do the driving with the Classic Controller. However, players cannot perform certain moves with this control scheme. Nintendo GameCube controller. Experienced Mario Kart fans may enjoy this familiar scheme, although some maneuvers cannot be performed. They don't say what maneuvers they are. Nobody seems to know.
Excuse me. You know what I'm thinking now? I think that might just be like their very dumb way of saying there's no motion controls on them.
I hope so, because
I think all the moves those control are there, schemes? But the maneuvers aren't there. You know what I mean?
Let us hope, because people were saying, oh, it's just like the tricks and the wheelies, but that's actually how you get turbo now in this
right,
game.
Right, no, I bet you can still do it, but I bet there's a button to do a wheelie, but you don't, since you don't, like,
do, pop like, it.
Yeah. They felt their need to say, you cannot perform some maneuvers. It was just very bad wording on their, like, why, I'll tell you what, if it really is like that, that's really, really
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, that's really, because I'm sure, like, you can't just, like, hit the Z button to simulate popping back the Wiimote.
Like, they're aware at this point that people aren't all that enthusiastic about their wheel, right?
Well, yeah, and there was a rumor for a while that it was going to be $15 for additional wheels. It has been confirmed to be 10, which isn't as bad, but it's still like $10 for a plastic shell.
Well, manufacturing costs. So yeah, people had to make it.
See how essential it is.
I mean, $10 ain't that bad for that. And well, we're not even probably going to win anymore. So.
Right.
All right.
All right. So this comes from Wired's gadget blog. Apparently, Creative is intentionally gimping their drivers in Vista. And I kind of had suspected this, because I've been having a lot of trouble with it. But a guy by the name of Daniel Kay, who has been releasing his own custom drivers, which are modifications of Creative's drivers via the assembly code, revealed after Creative sent him a very nasty cease and desist that they didn't even like send privately to him. They just put it on their message board and then deleted all his posts. They were like, you're stealing our stuff, which he's not. It's not like he's getting money from it. You still got to buy their hardware. But then he said, like, Creative is purposely modifying their Odyssey drivers to disable features when Vista's detected, and they purposely introduce bugs to prevent XP utilities from running in Vista. And Creative's response was basically like, it's our business what we do with our drivers. If we want to do that, we can. Ooh. So it's like, well, screw you guys. So
I'm sure this kind of thing happens all the time, though.
Yeah, it's just that you think, like, Creative, I think, is in a lot of trouble because sound cards are not as important as they used to be. You can get a pretty good sound quality from the integrated 7.1 audio in your motherboard.
They're in trouble because PC gaming isn't as important
as it used to be. So you think, if anything, they would be trying everything they could to get this stuff working better. So that's just stupid of them. So the 6-axis is officially dead, and DualShock 3s are out in the wild.
You know, I better get selling some of those 6-axes.
Yeah, because they were worth 18 when I traded some in a few weeks ago.
18, ugh, man, oh well.
And, well, they might have gone down now that DualShock 3s are out. But I should have got the list. It's on Sony's website, the list of games that are natively supported by it, and the ones that you have to download updates, like in a Motor Storm Resistance I think Lair, you can download updates.
What about Uncharted?
That, I think, is native. Yes. Ratchet and Clank.
Can't wait to do Uncharted.
Yeah. So it's good. And it also is the PlayStation 1 emulation. You can download an update and your PS1 games on Rumble and PS2 games Rumble.
Nice.
So, yeah. Very nice.
Not bad. Should have been there from the beginning.
Yeah. Last gen and all. Sins of a Solar Empire is getting an expansion. Among the typical expansion features, it will have a full single-player campaign. So I'm excited for that.
Should have been there from the beginning.
Yeah, you may be right.
Let's see. Is there anything else that should have been there from the beginning?
Madden 09 on the PC, which was there at the beginning.
Wait, yeah. I was about to say, wasn't that there at the beginning?
What's wrong? This is the 20th anniversary of Madden. It's a franchise that actually, a lot of people don't know, started on personal computers. Peter Moore, on his official blog, said, the PC presents some very serious business challenges to us in the sports category, particularly because so many of you are all playing your favorite sports games on the PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii. So basically, it's just a big fuck you to Madden players on the PC.
Well, wait, it's true, though.
But the thing is,
because so many of you, so many gamers are all playing their favorite sports games on the PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii.
I really can't see how hard it is to port it to the PC and get it out there, because, I mean, people buy it. And the thing is, too, they said they're going to continue to make select brands available on the PC. Well, if Madden, their biggest brand, isn't on the PC, what is?
If you don't, there are many people, though, who, because they couldn't get it on the PC, just didn't get it at all, or did they just go to a console alternative?
I don't know.
See, I
don't know.
Why build another SKU just to give a person another choice?
I suppose. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just telling you what they're probably thinking. All right, go ahead.
So IGN had put up a story and then kind of immediately pulled it that Pandemic will be making a new Batman game, possibly to coincide with The Dark Knight.
Okay, but Pandemic.
These are the guys who made Mercenaries and Destroy All Humans. So they're pretty good at open world games.
I guess. Destroy All Humans.
Did you play? Well, don't think.
I never played Mercenaries.
Was excellent.
Are they making Mercenaries too?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Mercenaries was nice open world, excellent controls, fully destructible environments, look gorgeous.
I want the Crackdown guys to make this game, though.
I agree.
But we'll see. Whatever.
So, yeah. I mean, again, this is all conjecture.
Right.
It could be false. So The Force Unleashed has a release date of September 16th on Wii, PlayStation 2, PSP, DS, 360, and PS3. They put out a spiffy little trailer that showed off...
On GameTrailers.com.
Yes. That showed off all the unique features to each console. So the 360 and PS3 versions will have the Euphoria physics engine and that particle engine thing that I forget what it's called that allows, like, wood to be wood, glass to be glass.
I get you.
The Wii version will have its lightsaber Wiimote controls. That it's not, like, exactly one-to-one, but it seems pretty close. Like, to uppercut in the game, you make an uppercut motion.
Right.
Stuff like that. So that, and it'll also have a dual mode where they'll have, like, I think he said, like, what, 63 characters?
63, I don't know.
Something obscenely large.
Oh, that's cool.
Characters from both trilogies, extended universe, all kinds of stuff. The PS2 version will just have, like, kind of additional levels in its own physics engine.
Including the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, that's the one level.
Would that
they
be the Yevon Jedi Temple?
No, the old school one, like in the ruins of the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. You fight,
oh,
like,
on
some
Coruscant?
Sith. Yeah.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah. The PSP is having what they're calling classic encounters. The one they showed off was Vader fighting Luke on Hoth, and you got
Cloud
to play
City.
As Vader.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that should
now,
be...
we'll probably... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're probably going to be getting the 360 version.
Yeah,
or
but
PSP
I'll certainly
version.
Rent the Wii version. And
see, that's what I'm saying.
Might check out the PSP
I want
version.
I want that dual mode. I want that classic encounters thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said earlier,
it's
maybe
probably
DLC.
Probably smart on their part.
Maybe DLC.
Yeah. The DS version, which, of course, you would expect
it's
to be
different.
It has, like, an almost, like, it's a touchscreen control method that they didn't really explain it that well in the video, but it looks like just... Every movement you could do with your lightsaber is represented by an icon on the screen, and you can drag across them to create combos. So it could be neat.
The interface kind of looked like that Revenge of the Sith for the DS a little bit.
Yeah, but I think you entirely control it from the touchscreen. It's, again, right. They didn't really explain it all that well.
Right. I think it's the least exciting of them.
Right. But still look neat. So Gran Turismo 5 apparently will be getting damage in a future update after it comes out. This comes from CVG.
Should have been there from the beginning.
There you go. Gran Turismo creator Kazunori Yamauchi has revealed that a major update is coming for Gran Turismo 5 Prologue later this year, which will add, among other things, long-awaited vehicle damage. Now, we were talking to your friend Kevin about, like he was
Kevin
trying
has
to...
some very strange ideas.
Yeah, he was trying to say that, like, Gran Turismo 5 doesn't have damage because these licensees don't want their vehicles getting damaged. We were like, but Forza and, like, many other games have these exact same cars, and they have damage. And then he was like, no, it's the license. And we're like, no, it's clearly not. And he really had no answer.
Kevin thinks he knows what he's talking about sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
good thing all these people don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I know. So Dawn of War 2 has been announced from the good folks at Relic.
When did Dawn of War 1 come out? I don't remember.
2 or 3 years ago.
It was one of those RTSs, right?
Yeah, these are the guys who also make Company of Heroes.
Okay. Oh, right. And I'm just not a big fan of these guys.
Right, a lot of people are.
I know. I know Company of Heroes got a lot of acclaim.
So first of all, if you get Dawn of War Soulstorm, the latest and last, I guess, expansion pack for Dawn of War, although they're standalone expansions, you'll get a beta key for Dawn of War 2, date to be determined for the beta. Dawn of War 2, some of the features they've revealed, there will be fully destructible battlefields, a non-linear single-player campaign, a co-op campaign, melee combat, and cinematic storytelling.
Okay.
You just said you don't care.
Yeah, so
they're
got
cool because they don't focus on resource gathering like a lot of old school RTSs did. Where rather you had to keep going out and I guess like
is there still unit building?
Yes, the way you get resources is I think it varies from race to race. Some actually just get it by killing. Others get it by there's these command points all throughout the map you have to capture, and just getting your army next to them, capturing them and controlling them just give you a flow of resources.
It's just a genre that has always kind of eluded me.
Right. So Echochrome PSP in the U.S. will, in fact, be a downloadable. There will be no UMD release, which I think is very smart.
You think? Whatever.
Yes. I don't think anyone would pay $30 or $40 for that on UMD.
How much will it be on the store?
They didn't say.
I'll get it for like 20.
Hopefully,
bucks.
Like anywhere from 10 to 20 would be fine by me. But I played the demo of the Japanese version.
Is it cool?
It's very cool.
Is it really much of a game though? Is it more of like?
Oh yes.
Okay. I want to give it a shot.
Yeah. So I saw a video today of some modders who have Quake 3 running on an iPod Touch.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the movement controls are mapped to the accelerometer, and then you shoot by tapping.
Now, first off, it's cool looking. It's not really practical.
Right, but they have it running and even networked and everything.
I'm a little confused why it runs that well. I mean, NES games have slowdown on
my
iPod.
I was looking at the specs of the DS versus the PSP versus the iPhone and iPod Touch. Of the three, the iPod Touch is far and away the most powerful.
Like, why did these NES games go so slow on mine sometimes?
It's just the way of emulation.
Okay, right.
Because, I mean, they compiled this from the Quake 3 source code, which
right,
is openly available.
Sense. Okay.
But, I mean, it had, did you know, like, it has a pretty hardcore 3D accelerator in it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I was really fascinated to find that out. So hopefully,
they probably have some plans.
As these games start coming out for it, we'll get to see some neat stuff.
They're planning ahead, aren't they?
So what was the name you suggested for the Puzzle Quest 1.5 expansion?
Spontaneously, as a joke, I said the Arcanum Tome.
Yeah. Well, you weren't too far off. It's called Revenge of the Plague Lords.
Like, I don't understand. Like, they literally, like, said, world, help us come up with a good name. And they still got a stupid name. This is like, I'll tell you, first off, I went to that website like 5 times. Desperately searching for a place to look where you could submit a name. The website is like designed where like it's like all of like the links are falling blocks like in the game. You have to kind of catch them.
Yeah, that's
and,
annoying.
Like, none of them were submit the name. I don't know, but you know,
oh, well.
Revenge of the Plague Lords.
Good job, world.
Yeah,
good thinking.
Were the Plague Lords in the first one?
I don't know.
Is this a part of the story? Does the person know? I mean, right? Is this a part of the expansion? What if there aren't any Plague Lords?
I don't know.
What if they, in fact, do not get their revenge?
Oh, no.
Revenge of the... Seriously? I mean, we haven't heard that a billion times. Revenge of the... Return
so
of the...
Will you be buying this when it comes out?
No, my apathy will strike back.
Yeah, okay. I will.
There will not be a new hope for this franchise.
Oh! Very nice. Moving on.
The attack of my criticism will go on.
Stop it.
I think I did them all. I didn't do Phantom Menace, but that was just a dumb name. So.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe this one has the most in common with Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just can't get over this. Like, what was the... I saw the runner-up, too. It wasn't much better. I don't remember. It was along the same lines, though. Like... Is the world so devoid of creativity? Revenge of the Plague... Aren't there things in World of Warcraft called Plague Lords?
It's possible.
I think that there is, like... I don't even think it's from Puzzle Quest. I think it's from World of Warcraft. Like, it's invading other games for no reason.
Can I go forward now?
You must.
Okay. I think I must.
I may be staying behind.
I think I must.
What is this?
Okay, so... Bungie's revealed that in the upcoming Legendary Halo 3 map pack, they're adding filter tools to the forge, which will allow you to drop an item in forge that gives the map various filters, such as juicy, gloomy, or old-timey.
Okay,
it'll be nice
right,
for machinima.
Right, right. I was just thinking, can you call this podcast, like, Revenge of the Plague Lords?
Okay.
Or Return of the Plague Lords?
Yes.
I don't know. I want that to be the name. I guess I didn't move forward with you. But
no,
Halo 3, whatever.
I kind of expected that.
Yeah, you kind of expected apathy from me.
Sir.
Get my attention. What do we got next?
Okay. So, have you ever heard of this game called Demigod? It's being made by Chris Taylor, the guy who did Supreme Commander and Total Annihilation.
I got you, Supreme Commander. Do you like it?
Yes. It's just, it didn't run well on my computer.
Okay.
So, when I get a new video card, I'll totally play it.
Will you? You still have it ready?
Yeah,
you
it's
promise?
Sitting on my
right,
shelf.
Right.
Ready to go.
Right, okay.
So, well, Demigod, which is his next game, which is really cool. It's kind of an RTS, but you control... Think of a mix of RTS
and black and white.
Black and white.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah, but it'll hopefully work. But anyway...
You know what? I still had some fun with the original black and white.
I did, too. But Demigod will be exclusive to Stardock's new upcoming digital download delivery service called Impulse, which is kind of their Steam.
You see... I'm kind of getting worried that, like, everyone has their own... Everyone's starting their own service.
I know. It's going to suck when, like, you have to have, like,
well,
four
just,
things running in your system tray.
It's not good for the industry, for the PC gaming industry.
But Impulse itself will be launching on April 14th. Right. And if you have, like, Sins of a Solar Empire, if you already have it unlocked, then, like, that'll unlock within it. And they'll have all Stardock's games.
I just think, like, Windows might have been on the right track with that whole Games for Windows Live.
They went not even halfway, like, a quarter of the way within, just stopped.
Like, the philosophy
like, nothing
right.
new has come about that since it launched.
Steam is doing a better job with their ideas than
Steam
they were.
Steam is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love Steam.
If only everyone would agree. But, okay.
Last... and best. We had talked about last week how it was heavily rumored to the point of being confirmed that Ikaruga would be coming to the Live Arcade this week. Well, it is confirmed. Ikaruga will release this Wednesday. It will have co-op play both offline and online over Xbox Live. Video replays where you can record your best moves and replay them to all your friends. And arcade shoot 'em up action. I'm reading a list.
Right.
That's just the game. But yes, I'm super
arcade
excited. Because that game's sweet.
Yeah, Ikaruga is a game I can't get past the third level on, but I still think it's really awesome.
$10 or 800 Microsoft points. We'll have to try
to
beat
it.
We have to commit to beating it, I think.
I don't think, no. We can't.
It can be done.
We cannot. I remember just the second boss fight. I remember like...
Maybe it'll be easier to see in high def.
I remember there was a point in that second boss fight where he's just shooting the black and white pellets like mad. And like, you literally have to like... Like, I was never more, like, focused in my life than I was the one time I did not die for 30 seconds straight on that boss.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That game is one of those very zen games. Where
it's
you
treasure,
just get
right?
Zone. Yeah.
They
those
are the
guys,
most
they
underrated
the
developers
of
all time.
They are fantastic. I love those guys.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Oh, one thing I didn't put on the list.
What?
That I want to mention. So have you heard of the game? It's called We Love Golf coming to the Wii. Made by Camelot, the guys who made Mario Golf and the original developers of Hotshot.
Okay.
They're making this new golf game for the Wii that, like, I'm excited because they're making golf and I love their golf games. It'll use Wiimote swing controls and it's Capcom developed or published. So they're going to have some Capcom characters in
Mega
the game.
Man?
I'm not sure about Mega Man, but they're having Capcom characters and costumes, one of which is Apollo Justice. You can take your character and dress him as Apollo Justice.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I thought you might.
But
enjoy
now that,
that
you say that, though, I kind of like. I like Apollo Justice, but I want Phoenix Wright. Damn
oh,
it.
Maybe he's in there too. I don't know. I mean, the
oh,
game's
man.
Not up. I read an interview with the developers at 1UP, and I'm really excited for that game.
Quite honestly, I would not have bought this game. You told me Phoenix Wright is a character. I will go buy it.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Okay. All right, that was fun. Oh, real quick, then I just want to brought up that. We supposedly have the box art for Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it, but you did.
Well, I guess the European one was confirmed by Sony, but not the supposed American one.
Right.
The European one was cool because it kind of looks like it's like sketch style, and it's just like the shot of old Snake and like his that kind of eye patch he has, that digital eye patch is really flashing kind of red.
Hmm.
Then the American one, it's a good shot, but it's just like a picture of the 3D model of Snake.
Hmm.
It still looks pretty good. It's just... It doesn't match the style of all the other series.
Sounds not real to me.
It looks pretty good. You should go look at it.
Yeah.
Anyways, just wanted to bring that up. Okay. Best ever Disney games. First off, do you remember Mickey Mania?
Yep.
You know who made that game?
Who?
David Jaffe.
That's right. I did find that out. It was a great game. Because, I mean, it was perfect homage. It was pitch perfect with everything it touched on, all the Mickey films.
Yeah, we Sega CD version.
It got downright exciting at the end.
But I just saw something on game trailers where they kind of went through the game, and, like, the person was like, man, I remember this game being so much better. And, like, he was kind of complaining about it a lot. But then at the end, he's like, oh, wait, I was thinking of Mickey's Magical Quest. So he wasn't a fan. But maybe that was just because it was the Genesis version, didn't run as well. Because I just remember nothing but
We had it on the Sega CD, so
it
had all
awesome.
The voice clips and everything.
And, I mean, it was a tour de force in that, like, you went to, like, you know,
Steamboat Willie,
Prince of the Pauper.
And even the one with that the evil magician guy. Even,
yeah.
Like, there's some obscure stuff in there, too.
Yeah, it had the one where you went to the crazy mirror world.
Yeah.
Through the looking glass, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of cool stuff. That was fun. But
it was a good game.
Mickey's Magical Quest was fun.
The third one, which I had on the Game Boy and was in my original DS when I launched it, so I never got to finish it. But that was one where it had Mickey and Donald. That was really good.
I liked, what were those games? They're different. Mickey, the first one was just Mickey, and it was like Mickey's Castle or something on Genesis.
Castle of Illusion.
Yeah, and that was fun.
And then
the sequel had Donald and Mickey, and it was amazing.
It was one of the best co-op games ever made.
Now, do you know that there was a sequel to that one that was Japanese only?
We have to find the ROM.
Yeah, we should.
We totally have to. Because that honestly, that
That's up there with, like, Astal, with, like, one of the best co-op games ever made.
Astal was a Sega Saturn game that you all probably never heard of.
We talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it before, but...
Oh, yeah, that game. Remember that? Really, we always piss each other off because we get each other with the capes and they, like, twist you up.
Those games were cool because they were kind of... There was some intense co-oping.
They were great.
They were kind of intricate, and they were hard, you know?
Yeah, they were good games.
Speaking of, there was that other Donald Duck game from...
Quackshot.
Quackshot.
I loved Quackshot.
It was cool because it combined a lot of the Duckburg mythology into it.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. It was very interesting. And then it was pseudo-sequel, the one on Dreamcast? Quack Attack?
It wasn't as much a sequel as I thought, but yeah.
It was still pretty good.
Yeah, it was
more
basic. It
had Gyro Gearloose in there. And Merlin, the villain from the DuckTales movie, was the villain.
Was he? That's kind of cool. I love DuckTales.
I do too.
Everyone needs to read the comic book, The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, that's like
by
the best comic
Don
ever.
Rosa. It is the best comic ever. Alright, so those are some of those. And then there's all those Capcom developed Disney games.
Oh,
that
like
were
Aladdin, and Lion King.
Well, even the Nintendo ones like Chip and Dale.
And the DuckTales. Darkwing Duck, which was kind of just like Mega Man, but with Darkwing Duck characters.
Yeah.
All of them great games.
Yeah, all of those were good. Aladdin kind of sticks out.
Better on the Genesis than on the Super Nintendo by far.
Did they make the Super Nintendo? Yeah,
it was completely different, far inferior.
It was weird. There were a lot of games like that.
Jurassic Park was one of them.
That one was better on the Genesis too. Mm-hmm. Those kind of games, whenever they made them different, they were usually better on the Genesis.
True.
Even it's kind of weird considering that the Super Nintendo was technically more advanced of the systems, right?
Yeah.
It's just whatever. You know, it's not a bad idea though, because you know then people bought both copies.
Right.
They would never think about that these days.
So I'm just trying to think what else from that generation about.
I'm trying to think of like PS1 stuff now and like
there that wasn't generation. Much.
There wasn't that. That was when like
things that was kind of a dark spell for them.
Yeah, that was when things got crappy. Like they made that. I remember that Tarzan game wasn't very good.
Yeah,
and they didn't do much like
the Hercules classic. Game was good.
It was like a 2D side score. It's kind of weird.
It was 2.5D. I liked it.
It was okay. I remember, like, Phil kept saying the same stupid things over and over again. It got on my nerves.
But it was notable in that, like, so often in those games, they do not use the original voice actors, which is so frustrating. But in that one, I mean, granted, I haven't played in years, but I'm pretty sure as I remember that they did, which
maybe.
Was nice.
I don't know.
And it was, like, the first time that they used actual sequences from the film for the cutscenes.
Yeah, I do remember
and,
that.
And, like, it wasn't on video yet, so it was, like, the only way you could watch it. So that was really exciting
it
as a kid.
It was kind of exciting. Oh, what about PS2? I mean, that generation, obviously there was Kingdom Hearts
1 and 2, which
I'm borrowing from discussion here, because I would just immediately pick Kingdom Hearts 2.
Right.
Has there been any Disney games we've enjoyed? There was that Stitch, that action-y platformer one. Wasn't there that Treasure Planet game that played a lot like Jack and Daxter?
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. My biggest gripe with it was, again, it didn't use like the actual music from the movie. And, like, there was the level that was, like, the solar surfing, like, in the beginning of the film. It felt really good, and I feel like if it was just playing that song, it would have been, like, perfect.
Right. I'm so disappointed we haven't gotten a really good Pirates of the Caribbean game yet.
Yeah, that is kind of upsetting.
What the heck is that about? I mean, that should be awesome.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think what else has come out lately. Cars, actually, was a decent game. As far as, like, a racer for kids goes.
I hear a lot more praise for it now than, like, back when it came out.
Yeah, but I think, like, if you're going to get, like, a racing game for your kids, that's a fantastic game to get them.
Remember on the NES, sorry to go back, but remember the Mickey game on that system?
Mickey Mouse Capades.
Yeah.
Hard as shit. I could not beat it, but
and
it was
remember
fun.
The Magic Kingdom game for
the Magic Kingdom Adventures.
Which is,
like, it's kind of like the first minigame collection.
It's kind of funny, because I just got this CD, it's called, Dramatica, it's the best of Yoko Shimomura. Is that about right?
Yeah, Shimomura.
She did music for like the Kingdom Hearts series, the Secret of Mana series.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first games she worked on was that Magic Kingdom game for the.
Which song is it on this list?
What Magic Kingdom game?
Is there a song in front of the CD? Okay.
But I saw that. That was one. It was kind of ironic that she would later work on
Kingdom
Hearts.
Yeah. Who knew?
But that's a great CD. Everyone should look into that.
True.
We're kind of running out of ideas, so maybe we should just move on.
Okay. So, not counting Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
what is the best ever Disney game?
You go first.
I need to think.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good ones. There really has.
I'll tell you what. I'm leaning towards. I'm incredibly nostalgic towards that. The Mickey's. I can't remember the name.
The sequel to Castle of Illusion that we can't. That's the one I'm thinking too.
You have to find the name real quick. We're gonna. Yeah, you gotta wiki that.
Yeah, hang
and,
on.
And I'll, yeah, but that well, was that was a fun game.
While I'm,
did we ever beat it?
It got hard. It did. It was one of those hard Japanese games that really weren't meant to be beat. I think
it felt like that back before you could save.
Yeah,
did it
totally.
Even have passwords? I mean, I think you just kind of
no. Okay, oh, there's man. Castle of Illusion.
Related titles.
World of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald
That's
Duck.
It.
Was this it? Yep.
That's it.
World of Illusion.
World of Illusion. Awesome.
So, what was the sequel that you're talking about? I forgot about this game, Maui Mallard.
Oh, I remember that.
That game was awesome.
There's Quackshot. Land of Illusion? What's that? Legend of Illusion.
Where's that?
Look at that red one. See, it doesn't even have an article.
It's just
doesn't
a
have
stub.
An article.
That must be it. We'll have to check that out.
Right.
Yeah, so...
I wonder if... Is Donald not in that one then?
I don't know.
What's Land of Illusion? Because there's Castle of Illusion. This is World of Illusion. Oh,
it's like a Master System game. This must be the first one.
It looks a lot like it.
Huh. Weird.
This is interesting. I kind of want to look into these more now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. World of Illusion was a great game.
And it was gorgeous looking, too.
It's one of those games I bet people talk shit about now.
Yeah.
And, it makes me want to punch them. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck should be teamed up more often. Cause
I agree.
By the way, you I think we talked about last week that rumor that that one developer might be making a new Mickey Mouse platformer.
Oh yes, Warren Spector and his new studio, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, was bought by Disney, and he hinted when he was on GFW Radio during GDC week that they actually were in fact like making like a Disney character game, not just like a game for Disney. And the rumors going around have been that Disney basically wants him to make a Mickey Mouse platformer on par with Mario.
Right.
Which could be awesome. Also, I wanted to mention, too, while we're just talking about Disney games, I actually watched the new trailers and stuff they've shown for the upcoming WALL-E game.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that.
They look pretty good.
It'd be interesting if they actually cared about, because the Pixar games, like Cars is okay, but not much ever.
Yeah.
Remember the Toy Story 1 platforming game?
That was good.
That's kind of weird. That was good. I didn't realize this Quackshot game we were talking about, the one with Donald Duck for Genesis, that's 1991.
Is it really?
That game is old. When did the system come out? Wasn't it like 1991?
Maybe.
But, geez, I had no idea that game was so old.
Yeah.
No, 1990.
Yeah, still.
Oh, 1989. Wait, geez, I didn't know the Genesis was that old.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, yeah. So...
Man, I'll tell you what. Look for some of those Genesis Mickey Mouse games.
Yeah, they
Mickey
were
Mouse
awesome.
Donald Duck games. Castle awesome of Illusion, games. World of Illusion, and Quackshot. Those are games you do not hear much about anymore. And, I mean, I'm kind of speaking...
What do they put them on Virtual Console?
Yeah, I wish I kind of played them recently. Because, I'm kind of worried that, man, maybe I just thought they were cool. But I'm pretty sure they were awesome. All right. I guess we should move on now.
Yes.
That was enough time for us.
To our week in gaming.
Our weekend gaming. Okay. I talked before about how I beat Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yep.
And this past week, I moved on to Metal Gear Solid 2 first. I was kind of playing through that again. It's kind of frustrating, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
Because Raiden is still just not a very good character.
Right.
He's just so... I mean, you've heard the arguments. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of dumb. He's just always... I'll tell you what, though. He's not nearly as bad as his girlfriend, who is also on the mission. What is that?
I hate Rose.
Like, this second time playing through, I didn't even put up with it. If she was talking like, X, just, yeah, tap, 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 tap. Because, her and the Colonel, they're not even real. So you play the second time, whatever.
Spoilers.
Oh, God. Mel Gear Solid 2 spoilers.
Yeah. It's not like you can make sense of them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. I know that plot now.
Yeah.
The
I want to find that Penny Arcade.
Right.
Keep talking.
The Patriots, who may or may not exist, may just be computer AI, were on the verge of controlling all of the United States, digital information. Mm-hmm. But before they could get the system completed, they had to make sure they could predict a series of convoluted events. So that's what they did there.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't really.
So you finished that, and then you started 3, right?
Man, Metal Gear Solid 3 is a billion times better. Mm. Metal Gear Solid 3 could be the best PS2 game. And that's saying something, because the PS2 is one of the best systems ever. Maybe second to only Super Nintendo. What are you doing? I'm sorry.
I want to find that Penny Arcade comic, but the archive's down.
Just don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Okay, I am listening.
I don't think you were. What did I just say?
Metal Gear Solid 3 is awesome.
Yeah, you knew that. You never even played it.
No, I know. I plan to do it before 4 comes out.
Yeah, you better, because it is amazing. I was, well, it's fun, because I'm starting over my last beat save file, so I kind of started with this pistol that was the boss's, which has infinite ammo. I like how they explain why it has infinite ammo. It's because it's like the, I don't know what you would call it, I don't know much about guns, but where the ammo kind of feeds into is like shaped like an infinity symbol. So all right. That's why you have infinite ammo.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But I'm going through this time. I'm making sure that I shoot all the bosses only with tranquilizer guns, so I get all their special camos. I just beat the sniper, and I snuck up on him and got his camo. Is he? But it's like Metal Gear Solid 2, and with that fixed perspective and with the radar, like it's really just a game of like shooting people in the head with the tranquilizer gun and like kind of avoiding them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have all these other things like motion detectors and the heat sensors. You never use them.
Right.
You can see them. Like, getting rid of that radar opens up the game so much. And, you're you actually do crawl around and, like, you're patient and there's actual tension in the game. It's just a billion times better. And it's much more well-written, too.
I see.
I feel like I was going to say something else. It's awesome. I'll beat it this time. I'm sure I'll beat it probably tomorrow, really.
Cool.
And then, I don't know, maybe I'll play Metal Gear and Metal Gear 1 on the second disc of Subsistence.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be proud of me. I am through the first 2 cases of Phoenix Wright Ace
Attorney. Oh, you've still been playing that?
Yeah.
That's good.
So I'm now in the midst of figuring out who killed the samurai dude.
Oh, man, that was a good case. That one was fun.
So
Did you meet the kid, the nerd who speaks in Leet speak yet?
No.
He's fun.
It's just that the only thing is, like, it seems like after the trial where, like, Mia dies and you have to, like, defend yourself, then, like, you're just, oh, it's just now we're defending a murder victim. It kind of seems like a little bit of
wait till the last
dramatic
case.
Downer.
Well, actually, the last case has a cool... Wait for the last... The second to last case, which was
the last Game Boy case.
Right. Okay. Wait for that one, because it's pretty... It is very tense.
Okay.
These games are usually good with their last cases.
I told you that I just want to strangle Miles Edgeworth, and you told me that...
Miles Edgeworth is one of the best video game characters of all time.
Okay, I'll accept
just wait,
that.
Just wait.
Very well.
What else did you do? You haven't been playing Lost Odyssey, because you never will. Like I said, you will never be a JRPG that doesn't have the words Mario in it.
I'm sorry.
So there. Yeah, well, you never beat Paper Mario's.
I did play Halo 3.
Wow, that's fantastic. But did you have fun with the Forge?
Yes,
I made
actually,
a map on the
did.
Forge. Come
I
look at
did.
My Forge map.
I made a sweet, well, you know, sweet, no, awesome.
Nobody has made a sweet Forge map. It's stupid.
It is an obstacle course that you race through on Mongoose.
Oh, wow.
And I made it for 3 game types. And I have the map and all 3 game types on my Halo 3 file share if you want to check them out.
What's the game type called? Hammer Time?
No. Hammer Time was broken.
I liked Hammer Time.
But I played this mode that I had. They added it a few months back that I hadn't played it, called Rocket Race. It's basically VIP, where you need to take your VIP through checkpoints. There's just 2-man teams, 4 teams of 2. The VIP cannot drive, but he's the one who's the only one who can score points. So like the non-VIP drives, the VIP gets in the back of the mongoose. Everybody has rocket launchers, and everybody's invulnerable. So it's just like this crazy race to get through all these points while you're just trying to hit people with rockets to knock them off track.
Okay.
I was playing with this one guy. We won a race by literally, like, it looked like a foot. It was ridiculously close. I didn't know these guys were even behind us. And, like, the other kids who at this point kind of gave up and were just trying to shoot us, they're shooting at us from, like, 2 sides. We race through this thing, and as we win, I see them go flying past us from behind. So, like, I watched the save film for it and saw how, like, they snuck around this kind of shortcut, and it's pretty exciting. It was very fun.
Sounds really intense.
Yes.
Did you play anything else? I'm afraid
I played more Call of Duty 4. I downloaded the map pack. I just started set it to download this afternoon, and then I haven't played it yet, so I'll play it tonight.
I forgot something to talk about. You know Squadron of Shame.
Yes.
It's this group I'm with. It's a one-up group. We kind of play through kind of overlooked games. And we're kind of, I don't know if I talked about this, we're kind of deciding our next mission, and the choices are down to, kind of like, they're all kind of independent or smaller games. It's Another World, Aquaria, and the Shiva. Mm-hmm. Another World, actually. It's like an old game from 1991. It was originally on computers. Do you remember the game Heart of Darkness for the PlayStation 1?
Yeah, it was. Didn't it kind of play kind of like Oddworld Abe's Odyssey?
Yeah, kind of. But the guy who made Heart of Darkness, this was his. He made this game first.
Okay.
And it plays a lot like Heart of Darkness, in which, like, the best way to describe it is a realistic platformer.
Right.
And it's really cool because, like, you're this guy, you get transported to another world, like, a science experiment goes awry, and, like, in the demo, like, just kind of walking along, and, like, this beast is, like, suddenly right in front of you, and you kind of, like, just run away from it, and, like, you, like, in the last second, you're by a cliff, and you jump off the cliff, and you grab onto, like, this vine, and you swing back, and then you run again, and then, like, some guy comes out of nowhere and shoots the beast for you, and then he shoots you, and the demo ends. But that was really cool. Hmm. Really cool, which is, like,
sweet. Cool and sweet?
Yeah. And then Aquaria, you probably heard about that.
Yeah, the one-up show featured it. It's kind of like Echo the Dolphin and Castlevania.
Echo the Dolphin, Super Metroid, Castlevania, Little Loom with the music. Ooh. It's really cool. The mouse controls are awesome. It's all you're swimming is with the mouse, and it's like sort of like kind of like point and click to where you want to go, but not like point and click. Like you hold it down, and he kind of moves away. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like, kind of click further away, she kind of, like, does a little spurt and stuff like that.
Huh.
Then when you hold down the right mouse button, you're kind of, like, a circle of, like, song notes kind of are over you. And you play different notes, like, you know, three notes, I mean, to make a melody, to do certain things. Like, some of them will give you a shield, and one of them helps you move rocks that are in your way.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, the presentation is gorgeous. There's, like, good voice acting and stuff. I mean, it is a really, really impressive independent game.
Cool.
Then the last one's the Shiva. Did you hear about this?
It's kind of like an old school, it looks like adventure game, right?
It looks like a Sierra like adventure game, like King's Quest VI, kind of. And you're like a rabbi, and like he's kind of like this depressed rabbi, and he becomes a suspect in the murder case. I mean, it's cool in that, you know, it's what it is. The demo, though, you only really solved like one puzzle.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it seems interesting. I don't know if it's the one I want to play the most, but they all seemed interesting.
Cool.
All right.
Well, one more thing I did play that I want to talk about. I don't think I told you about it. This is a free game you could play in your web browser. Go to raptorsafari.com and play Raptor Safari. I guarantee you, you'll at least have fun with it. The game's basic premise is that, for some reason, this company has built time portals and send you back in time in a Jeep so that you could run over raptors and drag their carcasses to the portals to send in the future as food.
This does sound like fun.
You also can drop a giant, ball and chain with spikes on the ball and, like, grab the raptors and drag them behind you and try to do tricks. The game is completely ridiculous. It has very interesting physics. Like, when you are dragging a bunch of raptors behind you, it's kind of hard to drive the car.
Hmm.
And then it was very fun when it does that thing where, like, when you do a jump, it goes in slow-mo and pans the camera around. And that's when I realized that driving this vehicle is a raptor.
Oh, man, that's raising a lot of ethical
now
questions.
Now it gets really meta.
Yeah, like, what's going on here?
But it's completely free. You can go and play. It has, like, achievements, online leaderboards. It's very impressive. Jeez. And apparently the next game these guys are going to make is called Jetpack Brontosaurus.
That sounds even better.
I know. So, RaptorSafari.com. Check it out. It's pretty fun.
I bet I know a friend who would like this game.
Yeah.
Did you hear of you have to burn the rope? A flash game?
No.
It's pretty funny. The game. It's just like this very simple flash game, and it's just called You Have to Burn the Rope. And all it is you're in a tunnel, and like the words, like there's like words on the wall, like on top it says, at the end of this tunnel will be a boss. You walk forward a little bit more, and then it says, your weapons will not hurt it. You walk a little bit more, it says, you have to burn the rope. And if you right-click it, it says, number 4, also you can't die. So then you just walk forward, and there's this boss. And, like, above him, there's, like, you know, two torches and a chandelier tied by a rope. You just grab a torch, and you burn the rope, and it falls on the boss. And then it goes to the credits, and this song plays. Like, it's like this really funny song, like, yay. I don't remember the melody, but it's like a song about, like, yeah, you saved us, you burnt the rope. It is really
well. So it's just like a mockery of, like, those games, like, oh no, we can't beat this boss, but wait, look at that convenient thing up there.
It's great because, like, the website has links to tutorials and facts. It's, there's a video of a speed run. I mean, it's pretty funny.
Oh, that's incredible.
I mean, it was really funny.
We need to look at that.
You have to burn the rope. I hope they make a new game. Oh, that was good. All right.
So you want to look at some PC releases? Or not PC.
You didn't do downloadable yet. We were talking about...
Yeah, I just had the window open.
You assume that we've been talking about this, but we haven't.
I don't. All right. Downloadable releases.
Hurry up. Let's do this.
The Wii Virtual Console. Not a bad week.
Cruise USA was fun back then.
Back then. I don't know if I paid $10 for it now.
I liked the... I think it was still a 64 game, but it was like a much more advanced game.
Right.
It was
Cruising World, I think.
No. Cruising 2048 or something.
No, that's San Francisco Rush 2048.
Oh, I get the series mixed up. Yeah, well, that one's better. Whatever.
You also have Wonder Boy in the Master System, which...
Is this the first Master game for us?
Yes, it is. And whatever. This game, it's on GameTap, along with a lot of the Sega games that end up coming out in Virtual Console, so... You could save yourself some money and just get a GameTap subscription. I played Wonder Boy. It's actually not bad.
It'd be interesting to play all those like weird Sonic games on the Master System.
They were just the Game Gear games.
Right. Well, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 then on Game Gear was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It was different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Xbox Live Arcade saw Mr. Driller online.
I've been hearing a lot of complaints.
It's pretty broken from what people say. Like, they say the online component, they can't believe it got out the door. It's so busted.
Well, I know.
And then I played just the single-player trial. It's one of those deals, again, kind of like Puzzle Fighter HD with the Puzzle Fighter sprites. They're just the PS1 sprites up-res, but like it's surrounded by this high-res artwork border.
Yeah.
So it's kind of... I don't know. Looks weird. Mr. Driller, I've never been a fan. GameTap saw a pretty... I didn't expect this release. It's kind of cool. They brought Dirt to the service, which is the Colin McRae game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it. Yeah, so... You know, check that out. You also got Papatronic. It's a color match. It sounds like Bejeweled. And Warlords, the DOS precursor to Warlords Battlecry, one of those turn-based strategy games.
Whatever.
Now the real releases.
Well, on April 8th, we have Assassin's Creed finally coming to PC.
Which has even higher system requirements than Crysis.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
it's like, who are they making this for?
Well, and then the Orange Box games are finally getting separated.
Which you could always do on Steam, but now they'll just have retail boxes.
So you can get Team Fortress 2, Portal, and Episode 2.
Right.
All separate now.
Well, I think it's not just Episode 2. They call it the Episode Pack.
Oh, it comes with 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Half-Life 2 Deathmatch.
Yeah, so that's nice. That.
Okay. Arcana Heart.
It's a fighting game.
Arcana Tome.
Oh, I've heard of this. Arcana Heart. It's... PS2. It's an all-female 2D fighter.
Oh, this is actually Capcom, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
maybe?
Capcom. I did hear about this. Let's see. If it's Capcom, it might be kind of cool, but it's also kind of weird.
Right.
What does it say?
Where does it say that here?
Information? Here, wait.
Quit moving around.
Vital stats.
Scroll up.
2D fighter.
Game details.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it should be easy. Oh, it's Atlas.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Atlas, they have Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was one of those 2D playing game guys. Sorry. Alright, so it's Atlas.
Anyway, Baroque.
Baroque, that's that.
It's some kind of RPG.
It's weird. Wii PS2, April 8th. Overclocked History of Violence, April 7th, PC.
Does that have anything with the movie History of Violence?
No.
Oh.
Nothing.
Ikaruga.
We've talked about that. 360. Summer Sports Paradise Island for the Wii, April 11th. You know,
croquet, lawn darts, badminton, mini golf, and more.
Mini copter, adventure flight, Wii, April 8th, whatever. What?
Sorry, I just...
Whatever. Don't say anything. Sam and Max, episode 5 for the second season, what's new Beelzebub?
I gotta play those.
So this is Sam and Max go to hell, basically.
Pretty much. Well, they went to the moon last season.
They always went to the moon.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was kind of the joke. They're like, hey, we're back.
Oh, right.
Fatal.
By the way, season 1's coming out on the Wii, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I should have mentioned that, huh?
Yeah. Fatal Fury Battle Archives Volume 2 from PS2, I believe.
Real Bout Fatal Fury, Real Bout Fatal Fury Special, and Real Bout Fatal Fury 2, the newcomers.
I thought Fatal Fury kind of turned into King of Fighters.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, Civil War Mysteries. I guess this is for
PC puzzle game.
Whatever. Plushies for the DS, I believe. Whatever. And Fab Five Soccer for the DS, April 8th. 5-on-5 arcade soccer game for the DS.
All right.
Let's go on 4-1 and 4-1. Let's talk about Derek Robbins' 10th hour.
Yep.
Zelda games. He mentioned the podcast again.
Oh, he did?
It kind of did it slower down. He kind of went over everyone on the site.
Oh, well, that was nice.
We were on the bottom, which I think is important. Maybe it's even lower down than that.
Just
just look.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 10 is Oracle of Seasons.
For the Game Boy Color.
Link's Awakening is number 9, which I like a lot.
I love that game.
Original Legend of Zelda is 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it much higher than that. Because, I mean, you know, it's the original one. Everyone, like, all the other ones are just better than it, right?
Yeah.
Number 7 is Phantom Hourglass. Yeah, that was fun. Did you play much of it yourself?
I kind of got bored with the whole going back to the ultra dungeon and having to work my way through it every time.
But a lot of it was
nice. That turned me off.
The Oracle of Ages. I wonder why Oracle of Ages is so much better than Oracle of Seasons.
Yeah, he really likes Nehru.
That
might be it.
Number 5 is Ocarina of Time, which a lot of people call the best. Ooh. Number 4 is Majora's Mask, which I bet he's going to take a lot of shit for saying that's better than Ocarina of Time. I mean, I've just accepted a long time ago that I don't get Majora's Mask, so whatever. Number 3 is Twilight Princess. His top 3 is probably the same as mine. Twilight Princess, number 3.
I tend to agree.
Number 2 is A Link to the Past. Yeah, fantastic. Yes. And number 1 is Wind Waker. And the list is automatically awesome because Wind Waker is number 1.
Zelda! More like Zelda!
Oh!
I go here. I tell people when it's okay to breathe.
There we are. See at the bottom, AJ and Mike Minotti.
AJ and Mike Minotti are brothers with good vocal talents.
That's the first time I've ever heard that for me.
Thank you.
You're an actor. I don't have good vocal talents. I think I had at least 2 Porky Pig moments on this podcast.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Was that on purpose?
Yeah, that was on purpose.
Oh, okay, good. Just checking.
What do you think?
I was really worried for a second.
I guess I'm a good actor.
Yeah.
All right. What else happened on here?
Hidden Gems, Episode 1, Chris Scott.
We have a lot of new writers on 4-1.
He's talking about Bad News Baseball, which we kind of mentioned last week.
Wait, he's talking about Bad News Baseball?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Awesome. There's another baseball game coming to Virtual Console, but it's not Bad News Baseball. It's an NES one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
John Curry has an article that is interesting. Are cutscenes the lazy way of telling a game story?
See, like, sometimes I want to agree, but then I'm like, wait, I love Metal Gear Solid, and that's like...
his kind of catalyst for this article is news that Grand Theft Auto 4 will have 8 hours of cutscenes.
Yeah, but that's usually a lie whenever they say stuff like that. And true. I bet it also has 200 hours of gameplay. Just like Twilight Princess had 80 hours of gameplay.
Right.
We have more greatest video game anti-heroes.
Oh, yeah, from James McGee.
I wonder who it is. You have to look.
That's right. We just tease.
All right. I think that's good.
Yep.
Did you get any mail?
Yes, we have one mail for the mail barrel.
From somebody
from our good friend Mark Salminka.
You sure it's that Mark?
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm guessing it's Mark S.
Mark S? Oh.
Mark Sal.
Okay, that's probably him then. Yeah. This is the 6 Axis writer.
Yes.
Mark. All right, what's up?
So he writes to say, since both of you appear to be great Sonic fans like me, did you watch any of the Sonic Kids shows when you were younger? I wasn't a fan of Underground or Sat AM, but the original Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog were pure awesomeness. I was watching an old episode the other day, and I must say, Coconut is one of the greatest Sonic characters Sega never recognizes. He's pseudo-represented in Sonic 2 and 3, but as far as I know, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is his only official appearance in which he kicked ass and took names naturally.
All right, so let's talk about that first.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we watched... Underground was after our time. I don't even think we had Underground.
No.
Shown anywhere near us, but... Yeah, we watched...
We watched both the Adventures and the Sat AM.
Yeah.
I must disagree with you, Mark.
Yeah, I know you would.
Sat AM Sonic is probably my favorite cartoon show ever made.
Yeah, you love Sat AM.
I have every episode on DVD. I have crazy schemes of how to take the aborted third season and turn it into a new Sonic the Hedgehog game.
You loved that show.
Well, and a big reason for that is Jim Cummings, who is a voice actor, is my favorite voice actor of all time, was the voice of Dr. Robotnik in that
show. Yeah, that was awesome.
And he was... That's what Robotnik needs to be, not this cackling idiot that he is in the new games.
Yeah, but he was. I liked him a lot in the other Sonic show too. He was funny.
Yeah, he was. Oh, he was hilarious in Adventures, but he was menacing in Sat AM.
I liked both shows because it was because like Sat AM really was like.
Yeah, they were two very different shows.
It's when you think about it, it's really weird how both of those shows were happening at the same
time. I know the story.
Yeah, tell me again.
So they originally made the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog at Deke Animation. And they presented them to, I believe it was ABC, who was going to be airing the show. And they were like, what the hell is this? They hated it. Absolutely hated it. But they were done with the series. So
they did a whole series.
Yeah. So they sold that to whoever ended up airing that.
and went back and redeveloped for the Sat AM show. And that's why you had both, with, conveniently enough, Jaleel White doing the character. I think he also was Sonic in Underground as well.
Maybe. Wonder if it was the same Tails.
What's that?
Was it the same Tails? No.
Everyone else aside from that was completely different.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was one weird thing. They released, a little bit after everything had died, a Sonic the Hedgehog Christmas special that was set in the adventures of the Sonic the Hedgehog world, but Princess Sally was in it. She didn't say anything. But she was in it.
I do remember that.
Like, remember Sonic was trying to get a Christmas present for her?
It's a weird...
Yeah, it was a weird little mashup.
I was more of a fan of the comic than anything.
Yeah,
which is still going.
The comic came first. And then it started off more like Adventures and then kind of gradually shifted to the tone of Sat AM.
Well, it was weird because it was like Adventures, but Sally and Rotor were all there,
yeah.
And Anton.
Yeah, and then it shifted into the tone of Sat AM. And that pretty much ended on the 50th issue when Sonic actually killed Robotnik.
Right.
And then they had the whole crap with Ixus Nagus and these other freedom fighters and all this stupid stuff happened. And then they brought back Eggman and it started following the Sonic Adventure storyline. And that's when I stopped caring with any monochrome. Although there was apparently an issue where the old school Dr. Robotnik from the comic and the Sat AM show came back to face Eggman. And I really want to find that issue because I didn't see that. But they are doing, they're releasing what, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog comic collections. It's like four issues at a time, these little digests. I have the first two.
Right.
I'm hoping it goes all the way to 50. Because that's, I've always been saying, I want to find like an eBay auction for like Sonic the Hedgehog comics 1 through 50.
Yeah, because those were really cool.
That story arc was awesome.
It's kind of weird how, like, I personally, I really did just like, I love those comics. And like, sometime after 50, I just lost interest.
Well, yeah, well, it got weird. It ended. It literally ended. 50 was the last issue. And then after that,
Robotnik.
Is whatever.
There was kind of that thing where Snively was like, I'm a new villain. And
yeah.
Like, no one took that seriously.
The Sat AM show ended on a cliffhanger where Robotnik was seemingly dead after his doomsday device failed. Snively was like wearing Robotnik's outfit and then these glowing red eyes came up behind him. And then that was the last episode. I read the interview with the producer. It was supposed to be that was Ixus Nagus who was behind him, the wizard that was trapped in the
right.
The
Ixus
whatever.
Nagus never came off very well for me.
No. But what was supposed to happen was he was supposed to come out, and then Robotnik was supposed to be okay. Snively ended up defecting to the Freedom Fighters. Robotnik became subordinate to Ixus Nagus, and that was like where it would have gone.
Snively did defect to the Freedom Fighters in the comics, and that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was
See,
cool.
I would say Mark says Coconuts is an underrated. I think Snively.
Snively
was
sweet. Was
awesome.
Voiced by Paul Robeson.
Right. You know what? I just realized, doesn't the like Naboo, like the foresty parts of Naboo, doesn't like that locale seem a lot like Mobius from the Sat AM cartoon?
Yeah. See, Mobius, this world that they created in those comics and that show has such a cool story and backstory and universe, and they, like, threw it all out and made
the worst crap you could
imagine for Sonic
the
Adventure.
The comics, that they kind of, you know, they incorporated all of the Sonic Adventure stuff, so, you know.
Yeah, that's when it all went to shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird now, because, like, I saw a comic
There's
where
humans
he talked
and
to the president.
It. Yeah,
like,
it's...
I don't even understand.
I really wonder how they transitioned to that.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know.
They were on a planet with...
Where the humans all died in a bloody war.
Maybe that's why Dr. Robotnik's so mad.
Yeah, he was like the sole survivor of the human race.
Man, that's awesome.
It was sweet.
You know what I just found out recently, too? I don't know if we've talked about that. Dr. Eggman from, like, the Sonic Adventure games is not the same person as Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, which kind of makes me feel a little better that they stopped calling him Dr. Robotnik, but it still pisses me off.
I just wish I knew what happened. I don't
yeah.
know. Okay, go
so,
to the second part of his question.
Mark continues to write, also, since you owned a Saturn, did you own Sonic Jam? The Japanese Sonic commercials in the Sonic World Museum were gold, especially if you got a bunch of friends together trying to translate the commercial. Like the one of the Sonic 2 commercials, where the commercial randomly stops on Tails and puts a giant question mark next to him, as if to say, what the fuck is that thing? God bless Sonic.
Yes.
Sonic Jam, we did have, and played extensively.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're probably picking it up now, Mark, but we were giant Sonic fans.
Yeah.
I mean, God, we were...
We were huge into it.
And I mean, that's what's so... I mean, if anybody should care about
the
series anymore.
That's what breaks my heart so. I want to love this series again.
There is seriously nothing I loved more than Sonic.
I eat chili dogs because of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, yeah, we had Sonic Jam, and I watched all those crazy Japanese things on there, and I thought it was all so cool.
Yeah.
And I love Sonic Adventure 1. And I love Sonic Adventure 2. And then, like, Sonic Adventure 2, though, it got me prepared.
Yeah.
Then Sonic Heroes came out.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it.
Yep. I played the Sonic Heroes demo. I was like, oh, this could be good. And then the game came out, and I was like, it's a bug-filled mess.
like Sonic Adventure 1, I was like, oh, there's these new characters, and I guess they're kind of lame, but oh, it's Sonic, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
And like Sonic Adventure 2, like, wow, this is really stupid, these new characters suck, why is everyone taking themselves so seriously?
Yeah.
And then, like, he kind of brings up, he doesn't want to bring up Sonic Unleashed, he says at the end. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, we're saved. You know what? No, we're not.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm trying to keep my emotions in check.
I think you're more enthusiastic.
I think
than
that was my gut reaction. I'm kind of calmed down now. I'm like, okay.
But look at the video. It's the same problem as like Sonic Rush.
Yeah, it's
too
not
freaking fast.
Yeah, all the platforming
in those games. People.
All the naysayers will say, "Oh, Sonic was just holding down right and jumping." That's what Sonic Rush is. If you go back and play Sonic the Hedgehog 1, you are not running at breakneck speed the entire time.
Even
there
better,
are times
like,
when you do.
Just think of the first
level. But a lot of the time, yeah, it slows you down.
I think the first level, well, even like the second level of Sonic 1.
With the lava and the spikes?
Yeah, and
you were barely running through that level.
Yeah, like if you ran through it, you would die.
Ugh.
The first level of Sonic 3, damn it. People just don't get it.
The first level of Sonic 3 is so good.
Sonic Unleashed, I'm calling it right now, it's going to suck. And I mean, this should be the safe bet, but there's still people who are like, oh no, man. No, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, you
These
might
people,
be
they
right.
can't do it anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a European developer on it. It's different developers.
Whatever.
We'll see.
What have they done?
They still should do my idea. You gotta admit, my idea is not bad.
No, your idea it still suffers from. It's just too much plot.
It is plot heavy. That's only. But I'm using the SAT-AM continuity.
Yeah, I know. But I don't.
I'll post my grandiose idea on the blog.
Yeah,
I've written
sure.
this up before.
You want to? All right. We kind of.
Wow, that was. What are we at? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're
That's
at
a long
we're
show.
An hour, so we'll have to wrap it up. I really want to watch Raw.
Yeah, Raw and the Indians. Go Trab.
I wonder how they're doing. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yes, please check us out, theexplodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also email us, adjguy711@gmail.com or tolkoto@gmail.com.
Yep.
Let us keep the mail barrel full.
Yes, let's do it. I mean,
we'll read your letters, we swear.
Don't not email us. That'll be embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if you just want to call us dicks or fags or something, it'd be
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we'll read it.
All right. All right, then. I'm going to go watch Raw.
All right. Bye.